Welcome to the Minibake Gang Podcast, episode 309. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Wow. Good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Sorry, I'm always amazed. 309. Jeez, why do we keep doing this? I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. are you tired, Phil?
Whoever knew that would, they said it would never last.
That's right.
Just like that techno music.
Yeah. And then our buddy Graham is somewhere on the freeway, on some freeway. So
yeah, in another state apparently.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, I guess that's it. So thanks very much for listening. Oh no, we got some stories to go through.
That's right. I got to tell you, it felt like a relatively slow week considering all the stuff that we've come off of in the last few weeks, right, in the last month or so. So it seemed like a relatively slow week in the world. So I don't know. Were there any tech gatherings that you went to or anything like that over the
week?
None.
I was going to go to one Thursday night, but I could not go. And it was the IoT Minneapolis event.
They had
a big meetup, but I was unable to go, so I'm bummed.
What was the topic? Was there a topic, or was it just a hack, or was it what you guys gonna do? Or
no, it was on smart home stuff, automation, so on.
How to set your Nest thermostat?
Yeah, right.
I know, stuff like that.
How to open your garage door from Texas.
Yeah. No, smart homes and buildings.
Wink Hub any good?
So I was at, you're guys familiar with Prime Academy?
Is that like Khan Academy?
No, Prime Academy is the new venture from the folks over at Nerdery that they're training.
Well, that's right. We've talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about Prime. I was over there. They are launching their mentoring program. So was over there. A couple of our folks were our mentoring, or at least one, and I wanted to see what that was like. So interesting space. It's really wide open, but they have some fairly young to, young adults, I guess, but not necessarily. Yeah, most people under 35 that are taking classes there. They're either changing careers or, pursuing a career in coding. So it was very, very fun to have Mark Hurlbut and Fred Sheehan were there. So they're running in the school. So I thought that was really kind of nice to see that group.
Yeah. Cool.
But other than that, it was there were no real events. So,
right.
But that doesn't stop us from, kind of highlighting what's going on in the news.
Well, and this was a big one. This was the software startups reign in Minnesota's Q1 Venture Capital Hall. So of the $48.2 million raised by Minnesota companies during the first quarter of the year, $43 million of that went to tech startups.
Right.
Most of that was software as well.
Right.
So it wasn't medical devices or whatever like would normally happen. So
right.
Yeah. And so should we? That article also goes on to say that's down significantly from this time last year. Is that something to be concerned about, you think?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
But I think we haven't turned the corner from an economic standpoint.
Well, no, but from last year, though? I mean, last year was, 80 million or something like that?
83. Yeah, that's quite a big haircut from last year. Almost half. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know what that's necessarily indicative of. But
well, and then this Novu, who was one of the principal recipients, they received $20 million from Sophia Ventures. They're in the healthcare space. And so, clearly
healthcare here in Minnesota. God, the heck you say?
I know. I should have done this in a prediction officially back in December, but I predict that our primary company base for tech startups in various spaces like the Internet of Things and so on and smart apps and all of that will be health centric. Because it's just such a brain trust here.
That's a bold statement.
That's a bold statement.
Mayo just down the road,
Gosh.
Oh, okay. All right.
The premier medical institution.
Really sticking your neck out on that one, Borsch.
All right. Well, you know what? Somebody's got to take a risk.
Right. isn't it good to go know that you can get up on a Saturday morning and say profound things, and you can count on Tim and I for shooting That's you right out of the water.
That's right. All right. That's right. Well, I watched Interstellar last night, so.
Did you?
Yeah. I hadn't seen it yet.
And, you hadn't?
No. And wow. I thought it was really, really well done, and the science, of course, was very sound. But all I dreamt about last night was traveling to the stars, and it was just great. So I thought, hey, I'll find some really cool space-related articles this morning to stick in the show notes. I couldn't find any. It happened in the last week. You know, before that, it was all, NASA comes out and says we'll find alien life by 2025, I think it was. But that's about it.
How do they know? I mean, isn't that going to be this sort of like, it just happens when it happens?
Well, define alien life, though. I mean,
it's going to be like some bacteria or something.
Like a bacteria, right? Or an amoeba or something like that.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
I want to be talking to some dude.
However, Steve, if you couldn't find any, interesting space stories, you could always paste pictures of Anne Hathaway into the show notes. That's
I thought she was pretty bad in that movie, actually.
Did you think so?
Yeah, everybody else was on their game. She seems to be a little off. She's okay. Not terrible, but I didn't find her character to be that compelling. But everybody else was good. That ending, though, is a tough one. I'm going to have to see that one a couple more times before I really come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Now, don't
know where he wakes up and he's in.
No spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
From Inception, right? I'm like, okay. I have a theory. I'll tell you off air the theory, but. It's a very depressing theory.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Well, let's see. We can't have any spoilers because people presumably may not have seen it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it's newly out on Blu-ray, so, and you should see it in HD, by the way, if you watch it again.
Well,
that's not one of those standard definition movies.
Well, and my subwoofer's broken.
Oh,
and
no.
And so I all of this awesome rumbling audio is happening during the film, and I'm thinking, damn, I should go stop it and go buy another subwoofer.
Well, and I know how much you hate losing that when you listen to your Jay-Z albums. So,
well, right. yeah. Well, and part of it was Michelle was delighted.
How do you break a subwoofer, by the way?
Well, it I've had it for like 15 years, and it was a very expensive one, but the cone cracked, and to replace the cone's like $300, and the thing is only worth, I think I paid $700 for it. Like 15 years ago. Anyway,
that's kind of a first world problem. My cone is cracked.
It is a first world problem. But my wife is delighted because she says, you know, I can't really hear the TV quite as much when it's on. I'm trying to go to sleep with the subwoofer because the subwoofer used to boom, boom, boom. She hated it. She'd always be yelling at me to turn the TV down. So anyway.
It's not to continue your ongoing marital problem, Steve.
I know.
So let's talk about something you know about.
Which is completely wrong because I don't think I know a happier couple. So it's, I'm just kidding you.
Thanks.
There. So go ahead. I'm sorry, Tim, I interrupted.
I think it's IoT time.
Internet of Things. Really great article in MinPost. Yeah,
this is a long one. This is a long read for a minute.
Yeah.
You can always tell it's a good article because it's long.
Yeah. TLDR. Why MSP is the once current and future Internet of Things alley. And it really does. It's a really good article. Obviously we'll have a link in the show notes, but, Minneapolis, St. Paul was an IoT hub before the term was coined. So they talk about that but also about the companies that are here. Remo, you know, SmartThings started up here and got sold, and, beta.mn and, really, it's a good article to read to kind of catch up on what's going on in the Twin Cities from an IoT perspective. I liked it. I thought it was good.
It's good. The question, though, is IoT ever going to really take off, or is it going to just be this, you know, I don't know, kind of a hobbyist kind of a thing?
No, everything's going to be connected in some fashion. I mean, there's all kinds of different technology things going on. For example, RFID tags and sensors that can essentially pull energy from from photons. And so they won't need batteries. I mean, they'll need batteries. They'll need some storage capability, but, and there's also low power, very, very low power, battery technology. So, I mean, the ability to have things in everything is going to be really key, and it's going to happen. It's already starting to happen. So, I mean, just imagine the supply chain. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Cub Foods and come back with a bag of frozen broccoli or something, and you open up the bag and it's like, oh my God, this thing has gone through 18 freeze thaw cycles. And you don't know that till you open the package. And if it had a tag on it that tracked it through the supply chain, you would know when it thawed and refroze, and Cub wouldn't even accept it from the vendor.
Well, this is why I only buy fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah,
so I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, that's why. That's why. And they're usually better, too. So,
another organic message from Tim Elliott.
That's right. I don't buy organic all the time. I buy it when it looks good and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I do, too, in terms of fresh fruits and vegetables. But we like to have frozen stuff. So for those times when you're like, I don't have any broccoli.
You can. I just don't eat broccoli. If I can't get it fresh, I just don't eat it.
Okay.
You know,
good.
That's the way I roll.
So do you think that this is a good name for, you know, IoT Alley? Is that a good name?
No, I hate the whole
sounds
alley.
Bad.
Yeah. It's like New York going with Silicon Alley. I mean, it's like, come on.
It doesn't work here.
Name it something else.
I mean, you could call it IoT Prairie maybe.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
that's original.
You heard it here first.
That's right.
Another exclusive. Bold prediction.
Exclusive.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So Viewswagen is coming up. A startup that plans to sell advertising in Uber and Lyft cars.
Do you think they're going to get any pushback from the folks over at VW at Volkswagen?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Maybe.
Kind of big
rip-off.
It depends
on how they say it, though. It could be like Viewswagen.
Viewswagon? No, it could be Viewswagon.
It's Viewswagon. Not Viewswagon.
Well, but it says to entice drivers to install the touch screens, which will deliver the advertising, Viewswagen will pay drivers $3 an hour on top of what they make from Uber, Lyft, or Sidecar.
That's not so bad.
And yeah. Oh, I mean, that would definitely pay for it.
So it didn't really say in the article, but you're presumably watching some sort of news or other content, and then the ads happen in there. It's not like you're sitting there viewing ads the entire ride.
I don't know. Is that what you got? I got it. Was just ads.
So. That's what
really
I got
the
too.
Whole thing. That I why wouldn't even watch it then? Why would you want to see this ads?
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't have a choice.
Look about that advertising
in the back.
About that advertising company that puts screens above urinals. And it's,
well,
it's
I don't
just
even
ads.
Watch those. I don't watch those.
Well, I do because you know they're just. What else are you going to look at?
Well, you look at the wall. See if your pile is clean. Come on.
Yeah.
But you know.
Oh, no. Tim is staring at the guy next to him.
No, I'm not.
Don't you stop.
Yeah. But I think you're a captive audience. So there you go.
Okay.
It's there.
Well, I've never heard of this place. I saw it in Ad Age or Ad Week.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Say, by the way, I have to mention something. Have you guys noticed how awesome it is to be able to go to Hulu and watch shows and catch up on shows, but you can't skip through the ads, and the ads are accelerating in number.
Yeah.
So they've now got us past the, I'm going to record on the DVR and skip through the ads. Now you can't. So.
Well, I still do that. I have a TiVo, so I just record the shows I want to see and watch them that way.
Oh, yeah. So do I.
So I had to go through the ads. We have Hulu, but it's sort of like you find a show and it's like three seasons in and you go back and you watch the old, you know, the old seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how we use it. But it's worrisome that you pay for a service and then you get ads in it. But the ads are usually pretty short. You know, they're like 15 or 30 second ads. So it's
right, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I guess that's the future of streaming is, you know, we have to watch ads again.
Right. Well, our buddy Darren Klum, who has his new company secured too. He was involved, or I guess he still is from an ownership perspective, in a company called Liquid Cool.
Remember, we saw these guys at Mini Demo several years ago when they
were known as a hardware
computer.
Yeah. So they basically can submerge hardware components in a soybean-based liquid that keeps them chilled. And, of course, that's going to dramatically reduce the cost for cooling data centers and any other locations where heat is the big deal.
Yeah. So this story, they're part of an incubator that Wells Fargo is sponsoring.
Right.
The Wells Fargo Innovation Incubator.
Do you know anything about that, really?
Never heard of it.
I had neither. Had you, Phil?
No, I had not. I mean, it's just, but it's coming out of Wells,
It's all San Francisco.
San Francisco money, right?
Yeah, I think it is. But Wells Fargo has a significant presence here. Too.
They do?
Yeah. Oh, they've always had a fairly smart aleck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me, a smart aleck? How could you even?
Well, this is where the Pony Express started. Come on.
No.
It's true.
It is, actually.
It is not. Are you serious? What?
Yeah. Way back in the day, it was. Sure. That's why Wells Fargo was.
I'm going to the Google on that one.
No.
It's a long-standing.
I was going to say.
You think it's like Kansas City or something? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I just stuck a link in the show notes to the launching of this innovation incubator back in October of 2014.
I guess it slipped my mind.
Yeah.
St. Joseph, Missouri, by the way.
Oh, that's where it started? Okay. Well, whatever.
That makes sense. Well, hey, I thought this next one was cool, too, which is this startup's treadmill desks land at Minneapolis St. Paul International
Airport. Still
don't
get this. I don't either. I don't understand it. I mean, why do I want to hop on a treadmill and work at the airport? I don't.
Okay. So let's say you're on a flight.
Okay.
And you land in the Twin Cities and you've got a 2-hour layover.
Yeah.
And you've been sitting on your butt for 6 hours or 8 hours or whatever.
Right.
And you're coming in from Europe and now you got to go to Seattle. And so why not get on a treadmill desk and walk nice and slowly and do stuff while you're there?
Why not get on one of the moving sidewalks in the opposite direction with your iPhone?
Well, you could, but what if you want to set up your laptop and you want to work on your laptop? No, I'm serious. I think that.
Would you do that?
Would I?
Yeah.
I mean, my wife who walks and walks and walks at all these trade shows and stuff, when she's on a flight to Europe, for example, I mean, she literally just gets up and walks around and stands up and all of that, you know, the whole deep leg thrombosis thing. You've got to get up and move around. And so I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
So especially now that more and more studies are coming out about the fact that people who live longer are ones who
the whole
walk
sitting is at sitting least, is the new cancer thing. Yeah.
Well, it's that, but it's also that for those who for those who at least walk a little over an hour a day, they have significantly less mortality over the 14 years that this study had happened. And so I'll see if I can find that.
And people that eat more butter, they have actually a happier life. might be shorter, but they're happier.
Well, if we're stretching correlations, men who wear pants have a tendency to live longer
and get arrested less. Yes, it's true.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
This is for Walkaway. I think it's a good demo, maybe potential customers to see it at the airport.
Maybe
you buy it for your office. You know, I don't know.
I just grapple with the whole treadmill for good thing. I don't understand. I'm not sure.
It seems like a fad. I agree with you.
Oh, I hate it when Tim and I agree on things.
But we'll see.
All right.
Okay. So what is this Media Lab thing you stuck in here, Steve?
Yeah, the MIT Media Lab, this is a digital currency initiative.
Yeah, so for a long time, I've been dancing around the periphery of Bitcoin, that Bitcoin really, you know, we barely trust our own financial system.
Yeah.
And so why would I trust Bitcoin? Right. So why would I trust this digital system that nobody really knows how it can be gamed?
Because it's open source. Come on.
How secure it is. Yeah, right.
Hey, man, it's open source. It's the community good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's got to be good.
But, you know, the potential for this is that, you know, at some point we'll have a currency that will actually cross state boundaries and will not be manipulated by various actors in on the global stage. And to have MIT behind it gives me a little bit more confidence that it's moving in the right direction, because, you know, they're going to look at it from a holistic perspective, and its security and its usage and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to follow this more closely. I just thought this was a big deal story, because at some point in the next 15, 20 years, we're going to see Bitcoin or digital currencies, you know, people won't even think twice about it. Everybody will take it.
I don't know. I think that the current corrupt financial system will stay in power for a long time.
Oh, yeah, we'll tend to wave people off. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. But if people start taking this and people start generating it and there becomes a market, then all bets are off. So I don't know. I just want to stay on top of it and stay connected.
I think there's a higher probability we're going to go back to the gold standard than this.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. But we'll see. I'll keep an open mind.
Now there's no gold left, though.
Hey, how do you know? How do you know Fort Knox isn't brimming with gold?
Not according to the Discovery Network. There's plenty in jungles and in Arctic, and, you know, there's all over the place.
Really? we'll find some planet somewhere. When we discover the amoebas that have lots of gold.
The amoebas.
Right. Hey, we found intelligent, where we found life, and it's an amoeba.
Welcome to the amoebas.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But, oh, it's interesting. I tend to be with, geez, Tim, where you and I are agreeing a lot. Very skeptical of the.
All right. So I listened to last week's episode, but it was unclear to me.
Yeah.
Which Apple Watch you ended up with?
Oh, I ended up with the Sport, the stainless steel Sport.
You went
with the
Cheapy as well. I think that's a good move.
You've got to, because it's just, you know, as first Steve pointed out, it's first generation. And why would you want to do the expensive one unless, you know, you had a lot of money and
you wanted to show off.
Yeah.
But it looks like they sold, over 2 million of these, according to a bunch of people that estimate such things.
Yeah.
Is that good or is that bad? I don't know. Is that good for Apple?
I think that's pretty good.
Okay.
I think they're going to get to 5 or 6 million pretty fast. They're predicting in this story that's going to be a 2 to 3 million a month run rate. I think they'll get
for to how five, long?
Yeah, that's the question. I think they'll get to 5 to 6 million pretty fast, and they'll make a big deal out of it. And then I think it's going to tail off quite significantly as people start to use them. And you know, they'll take the people that are very interested, where there's pent up demand and everyone's excited. But whether or not this catches on with regular people is still a big open question.
I would agree.
Yeah, I would agree.
Android has been at this for a couple of years now, and it's really not caught on. It's, you know, there's a lot of good Android Wear watches, and they're not selling a lot of them. You know, so I'm sure this Apple Watch will be better than those, but how much better could it be, and how many people that are in the Apple ecosystem really want this?
Well, I think what it's going to boil down to is the utility. I mean, if it emerges that it's one of those, oh my God, I can't believe how useful this thing is, and that becomes the buzz, then definitely it's going to continue to grow and accelerate and all that. But if it's one of those things where people are still scratching their head 6 months from now, I think that's going to be a bad thing. So
it'll be interesting to see how it grows. Yeah. I mean, it's just, we've talked about it before. We'll just have to see how big of an impact it, again, that you've got an entire generation or two of people that don't wear watches.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. From a, so Phil, from a, you know, developer standpoint, an app development standpoint. How are you guys looking at this? Is it just sort of like R&D at this point, or do you see applications?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think every company is working on applications, but it's so limited in scope as to, you know, really what the appeal is and where it is. I don't know. You know, it's an extension of the phone right now, and until it becomes a standalone, that's the game changer there for sure. Is when the phone or the watch itself can perform a lot of functions without being tethered to the phone in some way, shape, or form. So, I don't know. I know that there are, well, as Julio pointed out last week on the podcast, there are a lot of companies that are building smartwatch apps right now.
Yeah,
I think that one that he pointed out I know that LifeRent's working on that Betty Crocker. It's an extension of their app, which, you know, basically allows you to be doing a recipe and you know, click on your iPad or whatever you're taking the recipe off of or iPhone, and it starts the timer on your watch. I think, you know, that's a great extension. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of the standalone piece.
Well, and the other thing that, was a real interesting conversation I had with a buddy of mine who has to wear cheaters to be able to read. And I have to take my glasses off because I'm nearsighted, so I need to have them on when I'm driving and things like that. But when I'm sitting at my computer or I'm reading or whatever, I take my glasses off. And he just said, you know, I'm just not sure. He bought one or he pre-ordered one, but he said, I'm not even sure that I'm going to be able to see the damn thing without my cheaters on. And he said, I don't want to have to take that. That sort of defeats the purpose of having a watch that does notifications and stuff like that. If I have to first take my glasses out and put them on and then look at the watch. And I thought, well, that was an interesting way to look at things.
I think you can always make the font bigger on your phone, I suppose.
Yeah, but how big? The display's small.
Well, yeah, but can't you just pull your arm up closer to your face?
I suppose. All right, Tim, you put this in here, this Apple Teeny Bar, Power Mac G4 tower with a hidden bar card. So they actually created.
Who buys this stuff? That's what I want to know. Who buys this stuff?
Well, apparently the guys at Jamp Software are big customers.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, I think this is funny.
This is a cool idea. It's recycling. It's definitely an original idea.
Yeah, remember when people would take those Mac pluses and stuff and make fish tanks, you know, just hollow out the thing. And I thought that was kind of cute. Yeah. So it's the Jamf Software guys, and they took an old G4 tower, and we'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can see it. But, you know, it's got a mirrored inside and martini glasses and a wood, cutting board, I'm sure for,
cheese.
Limes and lemons.
Because, yeah,
and
well, whatever. Yeah.
That's right. Your garnish. You got to have your garnish. Yeah.
Your garnish.
So,
you know. What's funny is this is Julio did this piece for Macworld.
Right.
Interesting.
He's branching out, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah. But in the picture where I'm not sure if this is at Jamf or wherever, behind it is an original Macintosh portable.
Yes.
Remember those things? They weighed like.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do.
A million pounds.
Yep.
This is before the PowerBooks. It was called the Macintosh Portable, I think it was called.
Yeah,
it was barely portable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That'll take you back.
I still remember, though, guys walking through the airport with the original compact computer, the portable, which was like the size of a gigantic
suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah, weighed like 30 pounds or something. Oh my God.
I had a PowerBook 160. That was one of the first laptops I carried. And that thing was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I had a compact as my first laptop, and it was, you know, the screen was so dang tiny on it. So, cause I was one of the first color screens compact put out. So it was like maybe a 6x6 inch screen and, you know, hardly worth it. But anyway, we digress. Literally.
Yeah, we digress.
Literally. We digress.
Well, you know, I have a site that I don't really do a lot with. it's just steveborsch.com, but I have this, I'll put a link in the show notes. It's about this trip that I took with my dad to Germany. And in there, I have my photo of my Mac PowerBook 150 and an Apple QuickTake camera, which I still have, and an acoustic coupler modem, which I still have. And it's
that'll
just
come in handy.
Yeah, but it's just come in handy. Well, you know,
your,
whenever
your next trip to the you know, deepest Africa, where they only have phones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway. Anyway, that was a cool trip, but I built a website on the fly through my CompuServe account. And this was in 1997.
Those were the days.
And standing in a phone booth and using an acoustic coupler to try to send these files to CompuServe's web server. I had a little web server space. It was like 500 megs. And oh my God, what an experience. But I remember stepping out of a phone booth at night and looking up at the stars and realizing, oh my God, I can send these pages up here and anybody in the world that has this address can see them. And it was life-changing for me. I mean, that's really why I just turned and started heading toward the internet fully and ended up at Vignette and all that, because it was because of that experience.
And the porn, that and the porn, right?
There wasn't any porn. Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, you know what else?
I didn't say that.
Might be a life-changing experience.
What?
Seeing movies in HDR.
Well,
isn't this a crazy story?
So it's like, wait a minute. Don't you have to have a TV that can deal with that? Right?
I don't know. It says, so Amazon is claiming that they're going to deliver their stuff in HDR, which maybe with 4K TVs, that's one of the features. I don't know.
I don't know.
Huh. It just was a weird story. So I'm like, what?
Well, you know, I can't pull it up, actually, because it says too many redirects occurred trying to open the story.
Wow.
Wow.
So, sorry about that stuff.
It worked for me, but.
Yeah, weird. Me too. But it's not, it's not really looking at it. It's just one of those.
I just thought it was so maybe it's going to be more colorful?
I don't know. Hmm. We'll have to find out later, won't we?
Well, no, it'll be high dynamic range, so it'll be just like an HDR photo, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Many questions.
But I would just say, can your TV process any of that? Can it, I mean, the end source has to be.
Well, the answer is yes, because, you know, when I watch Blu-ray on our TV, I can see significantly more contrast because the bit depth is greater. And so, you know, you have more gradations of gray and it is more significant. And I do notice the difference when I stream. I mean, even though the streams are pretty doggone good, I'm sure you do too, Tim, right? Because you're a big Blu-ray fan.
Yep.
And so it could really do a lot. Have you guys watched any 4K through Netflix?
No, because I don't have a 4K TV, but I've seen it at Best Buy.
Well, I watched it on
You have a 4K TV, Steve?
No, but I have my my Retina iMac.
Oh, okay.
And so I can pull up Netflix and I've done the 4K thing and streamed the 4K. They had a demo thing and I could really tell the difference. So
is that demo a bunch of girls in bikinis on beaches someplace?
No, it's boring ocean things. But
remember when HD first came out and I think Mark Cuban had a channel. All it was like girls in bikinis. In HD?
Oh, Tim. I used to go to NAB shows back in the 90s, and the Japanese had high def, and it was everywhere. And I just remember this went on year after year after year after year, and I thought, this HD thing is never going to go anywhere. And all of the videos were, you know, these young Japanese women in bikinis and, you know, scenes on beaches in Rio and, you know, Carnival and all of that stuff. And it was just pretty amazing, but anyway, very sexist. So what about this Microsoft thing?
It's called Dell. Yeah. It's a new app.
Oh, it's an app. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're delivering it on iOS and Android.
Yep. And it's sort of like a Flipboardy thing, but it's for work groups to share you know, links and various things. And it's made for their 365 for Business. So I couldn't even try it. I tried to install it, but you need a special kind of Office 365 account to actually use the app. But, you know, I thought this was relatively interesting.
You know, this is really interesting. Well, you know what?
Well, what's funny about it, though, is it's iOS and Android, and they don't even have a Windows version of it yet.
Oh, really?
Isn't that kind of funny?
It is.
So.
Well, it's ironic. Well, so here's the thing is I think this would be a really great thing for work groups, and here's why. When I do projects, I deliver private client blogs. And I did more of it when I was traveling to different trade shows around the country, because they would ask me to do interviews, and even now they would say, hey, do a Skype interview with, you know, Joe Schmedlap, who's the CTO at some company.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Joe's great. The clients, I would often hear from them, and they would say things like, you know, you really did a great job on this project, but you know, that private blog that you did was the best part. And I'd be like, no, that's just ancillary, you know? But it was because I could post something and then people could comment underneath, and the team would comment like crazy, and people would put links in, or, you know, what if we considered this and what if we considered that and so on and so forth. And so the end result was that the team used it as kind of this communication thing around that particular project. And so I could see this Delve being the same thing, only it's obviously significantly easier for everybody to use and to be able to say, hey, I saw this article. What do you guys think about this? And just keep pushing stuff out, and people are staying on top of stuff together.
Yep.
So I think it's really cool.
It looks very similar to other, you know, Microsoft apps that are, you know, that are well designed, laid out. So
yep.
We'll see how that works.
Very, very nice.
Yep.
Well, we know that you're on Android, Tim, and Phil and I are on iOS with iPhones.
I really expected to click on this link and be taken to Funny or Die.
Yeah, the article is roommates stab each other with beer bottles in iPhone versus Android dispute. Two men in Tulsa were hospitalized on Friday after stabbing each other in a fight. I thought, oh my God.
They smashed the beer bottles over each other's heads before they stabbed each other with the broken shards.
It's like a Stooges episode.
It is. Well, of course, there is this sentence in here that said, police were called and subsequent investigation discovered that the men had been drinking. Do you think?
Wow.
Yeah. Shocking. Oh, my God. I thought that was so funny.
Presumably they were drinking beer.
Yeah.
When this iPhone versus Android dispute broke out.
Yeah. And then down in the comments, you know, people are like, so who won?
I know. What is the best?
I want to know. Yeah. Which is the best platform? Come on. Don't leave us hanging. What the hell?
Of course, these are the same guys that, you know, their fathers probably went down in history for getting into a, you know, a knife fight over tastes great, less filling back in the old days.
Right, so right, right.
It's like, oh my God.
I like this guy in the comments who says they should both be sentenced to using Windows phones.
I didn't see that. Oh, that's great.
Well, that brings up an interesting thing. You know, I got to tell you that in this great age of, you know, digital, always on, always connected, easy to access news and stories. Still, I think the comments are the best part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. Sometimes people really troll, but sometimes they are just hysterically funny. Yeah,
they really are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. It's time to let the horses out. Let the horses. Release the horses.
See security tip of the week.
It is. It's time for the security tip of the week. Okay, so here's the security tip. Now, I've known about this kind of for some time, but there are a couple of pieces about this I did not know, and I'll point them out. So here's the punchline. there was a New York Times article out this past week, which means, of course, a lot of people are talking about it now and blogging about it. It's kind of exploded awareness. So if you have a key fob that allows you to walk up to your car and automatically unlock it, there's now a $17 tool that enables criminals to amplify and relay your signal from your car to your key fob in your pocket or purse. So you may already be sitting in a, you know, be in a store or sitting in a coffee shop or something, or your home or office. And so somebody can walk up to your car and they can amplify the car talking to your key fob, and they can do it up to hundreds of meters. That's all I've been able to find out. And they can unlock your car, they can start your car, and they can drive it away. Yeah. And so now you can buy these $17 tools on eBay, of all things.
Well, it says Amazon too.
And Amazon.
And Craigslist.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And it's become so bad in London, people have been stealing Range Rovers like mad that are parked out on the street, that Range Rover owners are refused insurance due to the theft risk, unless they park it in their garage. And Scotland Yard has a website section devoted to keyless vehicle theft. Oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, so I went out and I said, okay, so how can I protect myself?
A Faraday cage.
Yeah. A Faraday cage bag. There's one made by Select Fabricators. And I had to send them an email because they didn't have any pricing, and the bags are $16.90.
Oh, that's good.
Which is a weird price. But essentially, it disallows any RF in or out of your key fob. And so I ordered two of them.
So you have to pull out the key fob out of this bag before it, your before car it works. Lock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's not a big deal, but, it's like, seriously? And one of the reasons I bought it is because my wife and I have Priuses. And the Prius is one of the most oft stolen products in terms of cars. So now the other thing you can do if you want is you can add three layers of aluminum foil wrap so you can wrap your key fob in aluminum foil. It's probably not as easy to unwrap and use, but at any rate, so that's my tip of the week. Put your key fob in a Faraday cage bag.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Or just have vehicles that have real keys, not these fobby things.
Right.
I love my fobby thing.
I know. Yeah, me too.
I have a car that has a key.
A good old fashioned key.
Good old fashioned key.
Yeah. But soon you'll be able to drive it with your watch.
That's right.
That's right. Your Apple II watch.
Which brings us to
our cool thing of the week.
Yes, it's true.
So, Phil, what's yours?
I found this online. I thought this was really cute. This, you could, this, the Apple II watch.
This is great.
It's, I mean, it looks, I mean, it's designed with the same concept of as we all remember the Apple II looking, with the drab beige color, the monochrome green screen, the Apple logo with its, you know, its rainbow thing. It's very cool. I like it a lot.
Color Apple.
Yeah. But the thing is we'll put a link in the show notes so you can watch the video. It actually works.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, the best part of this.
And it has a couple of little floppy drives in it.
Yeah, it's the floppy drives that are 3M branded.
Yeah, that's right. They are. They are. Oh, my God.
That makes
it
sort of a local connection. But they're these mini, mini, mini floppies.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Itty bitty tiny.
Yeah.
So, Tim.
This is a guy with too much time on his hands. Oh,
stop. Yeah.
All right. So this week, they had a big convention in Anaheim, near where I grew up in California. And it was for Star Wars. And they showed another teaser trailer for Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And so that was my cool thing of the week. But really cool is this BB-8 droid, the droid that from the original trailer that came out earlier this year. You know, everyone speculated, because it's a ball that rolls around, that it was 100% CG, but at this event, they actually rolled it out. It's a real robot.
That's cool. Mm. I did not know that.
And it rolls around. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah.
Huh. Very cool.
And that J.J. Abrams was there, who's directed the movie, and he said he wanted to have a real robot, just like they have a real R2-D2, for the actors to respond to and not rely on computer-generated effects for everything.
Yeah,
so.
I wonder if they have a CG version of it too, though.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Because in some, like that original trailer, the first teaser trailer, you see it rolling around in the desert really, really fast. I can't imagine that they got this real robot to go that fast.
So you never know.
But watch the trailer, because at the very end, Han Solo and Chewbacca are back.
And I got to tell you, don't think I haven't seen Harrison Ford look that good in quite some time.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't look like he's 90.
No, he pulls it off. Now he's only 70 something, but I know.
Yeah.
He pulls it off. What was really kind of funny is they live streamed this thing. So I watched part of it, and Carrie Fisher was there. She looks horrendous. She's only like 58, and she looks like she's about 70.
That's because she was a smoker.
And a drinker.
Yeah.
And a Coke fiend too.
Oh, bummer.
So, yeah. But yeah, she looked terrible. What's his name? The Luke Skywalker guy.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill,
yeah.
He looked grizzled and older, but he looked okay.
Yeah, I saw him in, what was he in not too long ago? I saw him in, and it was like, hey, he didn't suck.
Was that on the Hallmark Channel, Phil, or Lifetime?
No. This was, he played some, I don't remember. It was it was a recent movie. He was some scientist or something. But anyway,
he does a lot of
voice. So where does this fall in the whole time span of Star Wars? I mean, you know, we started with, we didn't know it at the time, but we started with 4, 5, and 6, and then 1, 2, and 3 came out. Is this after?
Yeah, it's 25 years after.
25 years.
Okay. The Return of the Jedi ended.
Okay.
And it's still unclear if Lando Calrissian will make a cameo appearance in the movie.
You mean the Billy Dee Williams Lando Calrissian?
Yeah, he wants to do it, but they've been very coy about whether or not he's in the movie or not. He has not been announced. But it would be kind of, I don't know, be kind of sad that if they bring all the original cast members back and they don't bring him back. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it because I just remember taking my girlfriend to see the original Star Wars. And had no idea what it was going to be. And just, I remember sitting and watching that and thinking, I've never seen anything like this. You just remember how dramatically different that was than anything we'd ever seen before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not going to be like that this time. That's for sure.
Well, no.
The summer before that, it was in 76. I used to go to a lot of movies. And so I went to The Outlaw Josie Wales, which is a fine Western.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
And right before movie started, they did the original trailer for Star Wars. And this came out of left field. And I remember sitting there with a buddy of mine and it came up at the very end, you know, coming next summer. We're like, what?
Cool.
So we were, needless to say, we were in line for 3 hours on the day it opened in 1977.
Will you do the midnight showing of this, Tim, just sort of as a throwback?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
It's Christmas, right? That's when it's coming out
right before Christmas. Yeah. So yeah, I'll definitely see this on when it opens.
You know, I guarantee you, if I take my kids to it on Christmas Day, you know, we do the family thing. We all go to a movie on Christmas Day. Every year we pick a movie that nobody likes. It's like, really? Oh, this was supposed to be good. Yeah, I guess not. So, or the kids don't like, or something like that. So, we'll save Star Wars and not go on Christmas Day, so we don't ruin it. And it turns out to be a really bad movie. Mm. Do you think it'll be a good?
Oh no, it looks excellent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the trailers always make it look excellent.
Yeah, no, but look at what J.J. Abrams did to the Star Trek franchise. I think he just did an outstanding job.
Agreed. But when's the next Star Trek coming out? That's what I want to know.
They're working on it. He's producing, not directing, and they've got another director, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's segue into my cool thing. Then we'll talk about events.
We are going to talk about Steve's cool things.
Sorry, we are going to. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. So I just stumbled across this. Don't remember how, but Google had it out. It's the interactive tour of Abbey Road Studios.
It's very cool.
And been to London a few times and always thought it'd be really cool to go inside. But of course, you know, it's not like they have lots of tours. I think they have one tour a week that you can go in the studio. And of course, it's when it's not being used. And so the times change and all that. This thing is an interactive tour of Abbey Road Studios. And I got to tell you, anybody listening, if you have any interest in the Beatles or any interest in even Adele or any of the newer artists that are recording there, this is a fabulous tour. I've already invested, I don't know, 3.5 hours at various times going through this thing. And I still haven't seen everything. So anyway, I thought that was pretty awesome.
It's very well done. Huge studios for, the orchestra size recordings.
Yeah, the film score stuff they do there.
Film score, yeah. It's great space. A lot of history there.
That's right. So there aren't any real new events on our list, but I have a question for you, Tim. WordCamp Minneapolis is coming up on the 25th and 26th next weekend. Are you going to go?
I am not.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about going myself. Well, but there are no tickets currently for sale.
Yeah, I think they're sold out, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, did you notice the Nerdery Overnight Website Challenge, which is scheduled for the 2nd and 3rd of May, has they've announced their nonprofits and highlighted the teams. So that's there now.
Good, thanks.
One of the schools, a school that on the mentor team for Technovation ML with Avalon School is one of the nonprofits, and they're thrilled to be staring down the barrel of a new website. So they're pretty excited.
That's great,
and it's a great event. Tim, are you doing anything?
I'm not in it this year again.
Again, I noticed a lot of Drupal teams.
I did four years, and then I've taken 2 years off. Maybe I'll return next year.
Yep. But I noticed there's at least two Drupal teams.
Yeah, a lot of Drupal.
Is there a...
No WordPress teams.
No WordPress teams at all? Really?
Well, but...
They could be. They just don't include it in their name.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people chose to use WordPress in previous years. We were, of course, in the year that you were on the team, Phil.
Yes.
We were the only WordPress people.
That's right.
But it caught on after that.
I know. Because we're trendsetters. It's what we do.
Well, the challenge is that I ended up doing some pro bono work for a nonprofit in California that a friend of mine runs. And their site had been done in Drupal. And the bottom line is nobody could figure out how to do anything in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it's complicated. So unless you do something that you're training people on the user interface and stuff, it's tough.
Yeah, I think you have to get a guy with a neck beard to figure it out for you.
Yeah.
A neck beard.
All right.
All right. So let's see. That's about it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure something will happen next week, and we'll talk about it on
the Minivate Gang podcast. Take care, everybody.
Yep. Have a good one.